And I have no doubt in my mind that the Montreal Canadiens have considerable interest in Steven Stamkos. That's not to say that they're going to land him. You know, clearly the player here is going to choose his destination, and that still might be staying with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
But when he gets these offers on July 1st, the one thing that might not matter as much is the total dollar figure, the difference of it from city to city. And the reason being that the taxes involved are going to play a significant role as what he gets to bring home.
Well, we are getting closer. Don't forget Free Agent Frenzy on TSN Television with those guys. Darren Dreger this morning with Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, and Rick Moffitt. Ray Ferraro about an hour ago as he prepares to head to Toronto. I'm going to guess that this guy coming up is also part of Free Agent Frenzy coverage. And, of course, all day right here on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Hour number three, Mitch Melnick, Mitch Gallo, Jay Farrar is in for Rod Francis.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwood Salada Dag. All the freshly sliced ingredients of any Dagwood sandwich wrapped in crispy lettuce. It's a breadless sandwich, and it's really tasty.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine. Are you preparing to work on July the 1st?
I certainly am.
I
figured
that.
That will be my last day until the Rio Olympics.
The Rio Olympics. Jeez. Every time you mention the Rio Olympics, there's like six or seven more high-profile athletes who've said, no, I'm not going.
I know the high-profile ones will say, no, they're not going. The rest of them will go because the Olympics are an amazing event. The high-profile ones have already established their credentials. The up-and-comers, they need the Olympics to establish that they are high-profile. That's the difference. But I completely concur with you. We're seeing more and more drop out all the time.
Yeah. Don't get bitten by any mosquitoes when you're down there, Pierre.
Well, the best part about what I do at the Olympics, I hang out at the hotel, I work out, and then I go to the pool and do water polo. So I'm never really outside. It's pretty all right.
Yeah, but some of those athletes, who knows what they drag into the pool with them, huh?
Anyway. I'm not in the pool with them, so it's okay.
All right, so yesterday, we, courtesy of Paolo, longtime listener of the station and the show, told us that Mark Bergevin, Jeff Molson, and Michel Therrien were in Toronto.
And to get Shaw done. That's clearly what happened.
And but they are also, as you heard from Darren Dreger, also quite interested in Steven Stamkos. We know it's a long shot. We know what you have said about taxes and all the other stuff. What I want you to
I've been telling you that for how long?
I know. But
it's
let
the
me
biggest issue.
So, but let me swing it around. If you were to meet with Steven Stamkos and Donnie Meehan and Newport Sports and make your pitch to be a member of the Montreal Canadiens long term, what would it be?
We're building this team around you and PK Subban. We have an opportunity because of Carey Price, because of you, because of Max Pacioretty, and also because of PK Subban to grow our brand unbelievably. Montreal is an international destination. It is the winningest franchise in the history of the National Hockey League. That will not change in your lifetime. And the biggest part about it is if you ever win the Stanley Cup in Montreal, and we believe you're the guy that can get us to do that, you are cemented forever in the annals and the logs of hockey history, and you'll be remembered forever. You have created the most amazing legacy known to man in hockey. So I would really be hardcore on the legacy part of it, knowing how much that matters to Steven, and it should. He's never been part of an Olympic team, and I think that's unfortunate, obviously, because of injury. He's won World Junior Gold. He's going to get a chance, obviously, to play in the World Cup, you have to think. And play very well. So all of it is pretty simple for me. I'm selling them on the legacy of being a great Montreal Canadian, the international city that Montreal is, and the phenomenal place that it is to raise a family.
Sold. Don't even have to hear the numbers, Pierre.
Well, the Canadian, I mean, to me, and it's something that I think they've been wayward on, I think they've alienated some players. It's not this management team, even though I would say they've alienated some players in process. The Camilleri being traded during a game, I know it's a long time ago. Players still talk about it. You have to overcome. You have to find a way to present the franchise in a different light. And I think Jeff Molson can do that. I really, truly believe it. But I told Jeff this a long time ago. That was a dark day That was a dark day in the franchise's history, and players don't forget that stuff, and agents didn't forget that stuff either.
And it was Jeff Molson who had to spring for a jersey that Camilleri wanted to keep his Habs jersey, and Gauthier wouldn't let him. I mean, that's how far that had slipped. Okay, so let me get back to Stamkos here. You know, in terms of being a centerman, do you think that's because clearly there was at least some friction between John Cooper and Steven Stamkos? He wants to be a centerman, and Cooper. But here's Ray, a former longtime NHL centerman, on this.
Will you be able to have enough players around him to be a really top-end championship team? You've already got the goalie. You've got a defenseman. You would have a forward. And lots of people are not sure that he's best in the middle of the ice or not. It's not just John Cooper. You can hear that in a lot of conversations around the league.
What do you think about that specifically?
He can play either or. And the reason why I bring that up is when he was first in the league, I didn't think he could play center. I really didn't, and I'll tell you why. There were some defensive problems. He was having real difficulties in terms of creating open space for himself. And I don't think he was used to coming late in the rush. I think he was a guy that liked to lead the rush. Usually centermen have to come late because they're the guys that have to do the heavy lifting in their own zone. Over time, he's developed himself into a multidimensional offensive weapon. I'll give you a case in point. When he first came in the league, his biggest calling card as a right-hand shot was his one-time shot on the left-hand side of the ice off the top of the circle, a lot like Ovechkin on the power play. And over time, he created different ways to score. Off the rush, off the cycle, in the slot, from behind the net, creating wraparound opportunities. His speed was a factor, his strength was a factor, his vision was a factor, and he was comfortable trying to challenge players one-on-one. He got better over time. That speaks to me that he can adapt in a lot of different situations. So that tells me that he can either play center or he can either play wing. And that's where the comfort zone. And he's now very well aware of how to play defensively. I saw that in Tampa when he was playing in huge games, whether it was against Chicago or the New York Rangers. Here's a good one for you. When everybody was killing him, the year Tampa went to the final, so not this past Stanley Cup final, but the year before, they beat the New York Rangers in a shutout in Game 5 at MSG and a shutout in Game 7. And everybody was ripping Stamkos, saying he wasn't scoring. Part of why he wasn't scoring, he was playing unbelievable defense. Phenomenal defense.
So if you're the Montreal Canadiens, that's part of the selling job, right? If there's any doubt whatsoever, I mean, if that's part of the equation, the Stamkos, am I going to play center?
Coach. Yeah, exactly, my friend. That's why you bring the coach. Here's how we envision you. Here's why it was hard. And I would say, like, if I were the manager, we did a briefing with our coaching staff and our scouting staff. And here's what we found amazing about you, how hard it is to play against you. And then you show him tape of just how difficult it is to defend him. Show him scoring off the rush. Show him scoring off the cycle. Show him scoring from the left circle on the power plays, a one-time shot. Show him scoring on wraparound opportunities. Show him distributing the puck and making players around him better. So then you show him that in a meeting room, you say, here's why we want you. Here is why we want you. We think you're the ultimate multidimensional player in the league in terms of scoring. We don't think anybody in the league can score like you. That's why we want you. That's why we cherish you. That's why we need you.
So, as we're playing around here, we're speculating, but it's fun because everybody's doing it, and we won't know what happens until probably past July the 1st, right? Until he decides.
This could be a fast one, though. I don't know about that.
Oh yeah,
I think it's either going to be Tampa. I think it was Darren Dreger saying Tampa could still be in it. You know what I've been telling you for a long time. No matter where he goes, if he does leave Tampa, I still think he'll have unbelievable pangs about it because I still think there's a big part of him in Tampa. Whether he stays there or not, I don't know. But I can just tell you what we've spoken about when I've had the privilege to talk with him about it. He has tremendous respect for his teammates and the management and the whole organization and ownership in particular. So I don't think it'll be an easy decision. So it's either going to be Tampa or I think, you know, you've got a bunch of teams. I have to think Detroit, Toronto, and Buffalo are a little bit of an added advantage compared to some other teams.
And the whole thing with Tampa, it was timing out so that if they could get back to the Stanley Cup final and win it, it would still be difficult for him, but not as difficult as not winning a cup as the captain in Tampa.
Well said. Really agree with that 100%. And that's part of what makes Steven so special. I would say he has never really lost at anything. Going back to when he was a kid, he was a phenomenal track and field athlete. He won. Great lacrosse player, he won at that. Hockey, obviously everybody knows he's won at that. He's won scoring titles for the Rocket Richard. He doesn't lose at anything. And I think, you know, when you're a leader and you're a true leader, he really is a true leader, passionate guy, very intense, very popular with his teammates. It's when you're that close, it can't be easy. I remember telling Scotty this a long time ago after we beat Minnesota in 91. I would never want to be on the losing end of it. I wouldn't even know how to handle it. And he said, just button up. You didn't. You just won, so don't worry about it. You know, so that's what he said.
So the Montreal Canadiens, as long a shot as it may be, have this one crack at one of the premier goal scorers already in NHL history at the age of 26. I would say we're going to make you the highest paid player in the National Hockey League. Ray told us an hour ago he's not so sure that that's a, you know, that could work out, putting so much money in one guy's lap. What do you think?
I'm a little bit with Ray on that, and I'll tell you why. The one thing about Steven that he's very well aware of is legacy in sport. I shared that with you before. One of the things that Tom Brady has done so well in football with the New England Patriots, he has taken less money or deferred money so that he could surround himself with better players and keep guys that he knows are critically important to the well-being of the New England Patriots. If you become the highest paid player in the league and you're playing, let's just say, for the Montreal Canadiens, you're not going to have any ability to make the team around you better. So the team that you sign with is the team that you're going to be with. And right now the Canadiens are a team that didn't make the playoffs last year. So if you're saying I'm Steven Stamkos, I'm going to take the most money, but the time that I'm going to be there, we're really not going to have a chance to make the team better. I don't think that plays into what he's about. That's why I shared with you before. He's very well aware of legacy, and he's very well aware of what it takes to win.
But
and
we
one
know.
Of the things you need to have to win, you need to have cap space. You need to have cap space in order to win.
But we know why the Canadiens didn't make the playoffs. We know reason number one.
Well,
why
they have Carey Price. That's one. How was their power play?
I think it would be better with Stamkos.
It would be, but how was their power play?
It was stinky.
There you go.
That's where they hired Kirk Muller, right?
How was their 5-on-5 scoring after the first 15
games
of
offense.
The year?
They are offensively challenged hockey club.
Correct. I'm just being real.
And that's why you got a crack at one of the great offensive talents of all time at the age of 26, you go for it, right?
I totally agree. If I were working there, believe me, the decks would be cleared.
This guy's coming up in about 15 minutes.
I know him pretty well, so I'm excited to be a part of the team and, you know, look forward to it. And obviously yesterday, emotions were, you know, on a roller coaster, but, you know, when it's all said and done, I'm happy. I'm excited. You know, I want to be a part of this. 3 hours from home, which is pretty big for me and my family, so you know it should be a fun year.
Over the weekend, the conference call, Andrew Shaw, again, he'll be joining us live from his home in Belleville in about 15 minutes. We talked yesterday, we knew it was getting close, but shortly after, a couple hours later, new deal for Andrew Shaw.
Compromise. It was a compromise.
3.9. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It was a compromise. Remember we talked yesterday? I said I wouldn't go to 4.
Right.
And term mattered. I was preferring more towards 5 years. They obviously went to 6. I said I wouldn't go to 4. They went to on an AAV of 3.9. It was a compromise deal. I'm sure that Andrew's representatives wanted 7 years at probably 4 to 4.5 million. And the Canadiens said, here's what we're going to give you. We're going to give you 6 at a little less than 4. And, you know, it's hard to not take that. Here's the one thing I'd like to pose to you. And it's just a question. It's not a statement. It's a question. Didn't the Canadiens have Andrew Shaw? Didn't they have Dale Weiss?
I'd rather have Andrew Shaw.
Well, to go look at the numbers.
I know, but I personally would rather have Andrew Shaw. What do you make of the fact that they're apparently talking to Dale Weiss about coming
back?
Well,
I think that's great. Again, that's why I'm just asking the question. You know, you look at these rosters, and that's one of the reasons why I get up early in the morning. I'm always doing analysis of all these different rosters. I'm saying, okay, I'm really happy for my friend Andrew Shaw, who is a friend and somebody I like a lot, and I'm really happy for him and his family. And I think Canadiens fans will really enjoy him playing there. That being said, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, they already had this player. And they could have had this player at way less dollar value. So it just it brings up a question. It's not a statement, it's a question. What was there that they didn't like about Dale Weiss that they like about Andrew Shaw more?
Jam.
Oh, Dale Weiss has jam.
Huh?
Dale Weiss has plenty of jam.
Look, I like Dale Weiss. I would prefer to have Andrew Shaw on my team. If I'm picking one or the other, I'm taking Andrew Shaw.
Okay, well that's fair. But I'm just telling you, the price. Just so you know, the price point for that body frame and that style of play, that price point is high.
Well, that's probably why. I don't know if you're aware of the actual figures. It's front loaded. 5.5, 5.43, 2.7, 2.9. That's how the contract is in each of those years.
There you go. I'm not aware of how that broke down, but that's why I'm telling you what I'm telling you. That price point on an AAV is high. That's all. But if it's front loaded, that gives me more reason to believe it's the right deal.
And so if they have Andrew Shaw now, why, like, are they just doing due diligence to find out, okay, yeah, Dale, we loved you here and you have value, but this is, you're not going higher than whatever they're saying. Like, where right. do you find room for Dale Weiss?
I don't think Dale Weiss is ending up in Montreal. There are a bunch of other teams that have made significant plays for him. And I would say that, you know, now that you've acquired Shaw, I'd be absolutely shocked. If Dale Weiss were to come there. That being said, here's the question you have to ask yourself if you're a Canadian fan, player, or coach, or owner. How many true B-plus level prospects do we have coming that are going to make our team better? That's what you need to find out right now.
You mean like right around the corner or to move or what?
Like right around the corner.
Who's ready to step in? That's why they need help. There isn't anybody ready to step in. Maybe Daniel Carr. Maybe. And they got to sign him. Maybe.
That's why I'm bringing it up to you. And that's why they would be involved in a conversation with a player like Dale Weiss.
What do you make of Milan Lucic and his tour out west? Edmonton, Vancouver, and who knows where else at this point?
I always felt he was going to go to Edmonton. I really did. As soon as Dean Lombardi, who's a very smart guy, gave 29 other teams permission when he could have probably traded his rights to Edmonton, and Edmonton would have paid something for it. Once he gave 29 other teams the opportunity to negotiate with Milan Lucic, I knew that Edmonton would be the lead candidate just from having talked with Milan during the year. He was really anxious about the whole thing. He hadn't had a lot of talks with management in L.A. about a contract. I think he realizes he's near the end in terms of physical play. So this will probably be his last meaningful big ticket contract. So I think that they're probably the lead candidate. Look at the players they have. You know, now they've added Puljujarvi. You've got Connor McDavid, Taylor Hall, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Leon Draisaitl. I mean, they are stacked with forwards, but what's the one thing they're missing? I like Matty Hendricks too. He's a tough character guy, but he's not Milan Lucic, not even close. So what's the one thing they're missing? Physical ingredient, knows how to lead. Milan Lucic knows how to lead.
Pierre, what do you make of the fact that the Canadiens are apparently still in on Cam Fowler of the Ducks?
I think that's great news. I think that's phenomenal news. I'm a bullish guy on Cam Fowler. I told you a million times in 2010, Tampa Bay fouled it up. They took Brett Connolly over Cam Fowler. It cost some scouts in Tampa their jobs. Now Brett Connolly, who was traded for 2 second-round picks to Boston, has been released by the Boston Bruins. So that's why I said what I said in 2010 on draft day. Cam Fowler's legit. He's legit good, and he's a very, very good offensive defenseman that's learned how to play in his own zone.
And by the way, while we were chatting, there are reports that Lucic has signed with Edmonton. I don't know if it's confirmed by anybody that.
Yeah, I'll be aware, shocked. But there are reports. Absolutely shocked.
I don't know. You know. We'll find out.
Right. You guys will definitely be on it. But I'm just telling you, based on what I know, the relationship with Peter Chiarelli, the fact that you go to a young team where you got some amazing offensive firepower, that they have a chance to grow their brand. I think everybody knows that. They're in the market for a really good defenseman. I think they're in a real good position. Finally, after missing the playoffs since 2006 every year, I believe they'll make the playoffs this year.
When do you head to Toronto?
Friday morning at 6 a.m.
Okay. We will speak
I'm in Portland, Maine right now. I came to pick up my daughter up here.
Portland, Maine?
Yeah.
I've driven to Portland, Maine. A lot of one road, nice. one lane highway to Portland, Maine.
Well, from Montreal.
Yeah.
It is, not from
not for you. say hi for us here.
I will for sure. I look forward to chatting with you tomorrow.
Thanks, Pierre.
Bye-bye.
Pierre McGuire in Portland, Maine on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. When we come back following Gallo's update, Andrew Shaw.
Hockey Insider PA.